Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins at the Dragonfly in Bettendorf. Using both conventional and alternative counseling methods for empowerment to help create change for individuals and couples. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics Show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flagship public radio station in the Quad Cities region of northwestern Illinois and eastern Iowa. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and to all our listeners out there, are you at the point where you're tired of both of our political parties, the Republicans and Democrats? Are you sick and tired and enough of them to consider a new third party, especially with what's going on right now as we record this with the Texas legislature trying to reapportion in the middle of a decade? They're coming up to Illinois, which reapportioned its own using gerrymandering pretty badly. If you're willing to listen here about a third party, then you're in luck, because my guest today is from an organization that's attempting to do just that, create a new political party that will compete against the two-party system we currently have, and which I think is fair to say is failing. That's a strong statement, but I do think that's fair. She is Lindsay Williams-Drath, and she's the CEO of the Forward Party. Now, a lot of you may not have heard of that, but to give this a listen here. This is her first appearance on Heartland Politics, and I think this is an organization that'll be interesting to follow, because I think it's taking some interesting steps that I think are the right way if a third party is ever going to come into existence. Lindsay, thank you so much for your time today.
Robin, thank you so much for being here. I'm so thrilled to have the opportunity to share our mission and our vision for change with all of your listeners out there.
Well, let's start at the foundation level. There may be some out there that have heard of this party, but for those who haven't, what is the Forward Party? When did it start? How did it get its bearings? And then we'll get into more aspects of it in a bit.
Thank you, Robin. Yeah, we, while a lot of your listeners probably aren't familiar with us, they might very well be familiar with the conversation that's been spurred over the last 6 weeks related to a new political party in the United States. Someone may have been tweeting about it, about starting one. And our response to that is we're thrilled that there is a national dialogue about a new political party and about disrupting the two-party system. I think any attention that is brought to that vision for change is good in our book, but we already knew this. We came to this conclusion 3 years ago, and so the Forward Party in its current iteration was launched in July of 2022. It was the result of a merger of three organizations, and our foundation of an entity that was the result of a merger of three organizations is really, really important in terms of who we are and how we approach the work. So Andrew Yang ran for president in 2020 as a Democrat. He left the Democratic Party and founded an organization called the Forward Party in 2021. There's another organization called the Serve America Movement. Their vision for change was also to disrupt the two-party system by creating a new political party for independence. And then there was a group called the Renew America Movement, and they were kind of a center-right group of folks who felt that there was no longer a moderate faction within the Republican Party, and they wanted to rebuild that. Governor Christine Todd Whitman, former New Jersey governor and two-term head of the EPA under George W. Bush, was affiliated with that organization. In July of 22, those three organizations merged, and so I was incredibly blessed to have taken over the role in the winter of 2023 as the CEO. Our vision for change goal is a functional and representative government that reduces toxic polarization and extremism, that puts the power back in the hands of the voter and changes the incentive system of our elected officials to actually serve with integrity and in a way that is authentic to their communities. A political party is not our goal. That is our goal, is a functional and representative government. The political party is the vehicle and the tool by which we look to achieve that. And the reason, Robin, that we've built it as a political party is that that is the infrastructure through which our candidates run for office. It is the organizing structure around which our grassroots voters around the country come together. And they are legally governed entities. You know, the Democratic National Committee, the Republican National Committee, the Libertarian Party, the Greens, they all are governed by the Federal Election Commission. And, you know, when we spoke to people in the early stages of party creation, they said, well, why don't you do this as a movement? The American people hate political parties. So why would you introduce a new political party? And we say, because you don't want to show up to a knife fight with a pool noodle. And if we're going to change the rules of the game, we have to play the game. And that means founding a new political party. But we are an ideologically inclusive political party. We do not have a dogmatic platform. We do not subject our members to litmus tests, partisan litmus tests. What we do ask them to do is to commit to a shared set of values and a shared set of principles. We ask our candidates to sign a pledge that commits them to a shared set of values and principles. And it's things that Americans are really hungry for, a commitment to grace and tolerance, a commitment to more listening than talking. We ask our candidates to commit to data-based legislation and rulemaking. And we also ask them to commit to things like transparency, a commitment to upholding the Constitution and the rule of law. So this is 53% of Americans now are outside of the two-party system. They neither identify as Republicans or independents. How we build a political party to represent that coalition, Robin, is our opportunity.
I can hear people right now listening to this thinking, this all sounds good, but the general principles are fine. But when it comes down to issues that people care about out there, immigration, gun rights, tariffs. How will this party kind of form and candidates who run? Can they have different views on these issues? I mean, how does that work as far as what your vision is? And I know this is still early in your process too.
Yeah, no, it is absolutely crucial to our vision, and that is that we are building this party from the ground up. We want to empower leaders in Iowa, Nebraska, Illinois, Texas to look at the issues that are facing their communities and the key issues that are priorities to them. And we want them to have the opportunity to explore a variety of policy solutions to address those issues. If you are in Skokie, the relationship that your community has with the issue of immigration is going to be different than if you are in San Antonio. And we want to make sure that our party reflects that. My background, Robin, before I had the opportunity to do this work, was in Republican Party politics. I served as a Republican Party operative for over 20 years. And when I started in the United States Senate, you had Jeff Sessions in Alabama, very, very conservative, someone who was focused on very conservative policy solutions. And you had Senator Olympia Snowe in Maine, who differed from Senator Sessions on many issues, but they did share a set of conservative principles and values. But what Olympia Snowe came to advocate for the people of Maine when she came to Washington, D.C., was different than what Jeff Sessions was advocating for the people of Alabama. And there was room for that in our political system. And the two-party system acknowledged that need so that you had a kind of a wide range of individuals in service and as voters in those parties. The two-party system no longer allows for that. And so we want to create that norm at the Forward Party. We also want to give our members and our candidates the opportunity to explore really neat new policy innovations. So not everything should be considered a right or left policy solution. That's why our slogan is not left, not right, forward. How can we come together to actually advance incredible innovations. It's 2025. Our economy is changing daily with the introduction of AI and the rapid scale of technology. How are policy solutions, how are policy solutions taking that into account? And so that's what we want to create space for at Forward, which in our opinion is a much more honest and authentic way of approaching this.
Curious, you mentioned Andrew Yang, who I had the opportunity to meet him. The political science class I teach, we went over and heard him in Burlington, Iowa, and young people loved him. And I just wonder, and most young people I talk to in my classes and otherwise, they were interested in alternatives. A lot of them last year were interested in Robert Kennedy Jr., his presidential campaign before he folded it up. Are you seeing a lot of interest from younger people across the country in this third party, new third party effort?
Absolutely, Robin. I would encourage all of your listeners who are students and people who are young people to go to our website, forwardparty.com, or search on social medias for the Young Forwardists. So we have a Young Forwardists committee at our HQ, and they are on college campuses around the country and also at high schools. And they really, authentic to the way that we are building this, true to the way that we're building this. They have great autonomy in terms of messaging, their digital platforms. We really encourage them to be creative in scaling, a network of young people around the country. They're incredibly engaged. I find students across America right now to be overwhelmingly optimistic, actually. I think people want to paint Gen Z as pessimists. They're not. They're extraordinarily well informed. And they're patriots. And I think they want to reclaim that sense of patriotism from what they feel has been stolen from the two-party system, by the two-party system.
You know, I got to share an anecdote, which being older shocks me a little bit. But my students, I told them a story from the 80s when Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill would get together, and the story goes they'd have a glass of bourbon and a cigar, and they compromised over issues like taxes and immigration. My students thought I was making that up. They didn't believe it because of the world they've grown up in here, where our parties just don't compromise. Is the Forward Party kind of what's your view on compromise as far as, understanding that people even in your party may disagree, but that's the way the founding of the country was based on a compromise.
Oh, you compromise is essential here. It's absolutely essential. And at the crux of compromise, Robin, you have to be willing to walk into a room acknowledging you're going to have to give something up. Let's really talk about what compromise is. Compromise is acknowledging that at the start of a conversation, you're not going to get everything that you want. And so our candidates and our members across the country acknowledge that, and they come into rooms with a willingness to give some things up. And that's what we want out of all of our elected officials.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. I'm Robin Johnson, your host, and my guest today is Lindsey Wayem-Drath, who's the CEO of a new political party that's forming. It's called the Forward Party. If you're tired of the two-party system, and believe me, most of us are, I think it's fair to say I am, this bears a look. And Lindsey's been talking a little bit about the party's mission, what got it started, and what really intrigues me is I think, if I can editorialize, I think you're going about it in the right way as far as building bottom up. I don't think this would work on a top-down approach where you and Andrew and Christine Todd Whitman would come down with two tablets and say, here's what we're going. I really like the way you're doing this. Can you talk a little bit more about that, about the bottom-up approach on what the party stands for and the direction of the party?
Absolutely. Thank you for giving me that opportunity, Robin. We are committed to building from the ground up. We are committed in every way possible to make sure that our members across the country are empowered to craft the direction of this organization. And we were just talking previously about policy solutions, and that's one of the areas where we want them to be empowered so that they don't feel that they're being given dogmatic litmus tests. The other reason we're doing it this way is because history has told us that top down doesn't work. So Ross Perot got 19% of the vote. That's fantastic, but he still lost. Mike Bloomberg launched an exploratory committee to run for president, as did Howard Schultz. So even when you had that tremendous amount of wealth, at the top of the ticket, it doesn't work. So we do need to build something from the ground up. The reason that we're doing this is we don't believe in spoilers. I don't believe that's a thing. And I think it's something that folks have made up to. I think the two-party system likes to use that to convince voters that they shouldn't be seeking, you know, any alternatives. And so the other reason why we build from the ground up is because there are 520,000 positions for elected office around the country. And everybody likes to nationalize our politics and talk about the one seat at the top. But you have 520,000 positions for elected office. 70% of those, Robin, go uncontested, which means when you go to vote for someone, you know, on your local city council, school board, your mayoral race, a county executive, there's a 70% chance that person is running unopposed, which means you actually, our democracy is not functioning in that space. So what does it look like to identify alternatives in those 70% of races and recruit someone to run as a Fordist or as an independent candidate against that uncontested incumbent? And, you know, what happens when you have a lack of competition, it's fueled these extremes. Because if you have someone who is in a red district, who's in a red seat, and is serving on a city council or serving as, you know, a member of the state legislature, and no one is challenging them, they're going to continue to appeal to that extreme portion of their base to get reelected. 87% of congressional districts across the country are decidedly red or blue. They are decided, which means in many of those places, the party that is the minor party in that area, the party in the minority, has mostly given up. So you've only got 40 congressional seats around the country that are considered competitive. And the DTRIP and the NRCC are going to pour millions and millions and millions of dollars into those districts to flip red to blue and blue to red. And then you're going to see initiatives like the gerrymandering initiatives that you referenced in Texas. We are not focused on flipping red to blue or blue to red. We're focused on districts that went 12 points for Trump or 12 points for Harris, where in a R plus 12 district, the Democratic Party's given up. They've ceded any competition opportunity for competition there. And similarly, you've got urban districts around the country that are, you know, D plus 15 districts where the Republican Party's not competitive. In those areas, we're not a third party, Robin. We're the second party. So you can't be a spoiler if there's not even anybody else on the ballot. And so we are building from the ground up, identifying those opportunities to introduce competition, build a movement of people around those candidacies and around those races who care about their communities. You know, these are local issues. These are kitchen table local issues that American voters are focused on. And so we want to create competition at the local level to build this party and bring those people to the table. And then from there, you know, we'll level up and grow, but we're gonna start at the ground.
I looked at the a map on the website, and again, it's forwardparty.com, correct? All one word.
It sure is.
Illinois and Iowa look like in our listening area, the two states in our listening area, that they're a little behind other states. Do you have any updated information on efforts in these two states?
Illinois is a really difficult state from a ballot access perspective. Iowa, we've got some great opportunities for growth in Iowa. And I know you and I, when we were chatting earlier, Robin mentioned Rob Sand and his candidacy. Rob's values are very much Ford shared values. I really applaud his commitment to hosting 100 town halls as part of the launch of his campaign. You know, you're seeing the Republican Party really shy away from hosting town halls. And we think that level of transparency in both amongst our candidates and also amongst our elected officials is paramount, and creating those opportunities for feedback with your constituents. So I think that there's a great opportunity for us in Iowa. Illinois, again, the ballot access there is really tricky. And that's one of the other reasons why building from the ground up is so important, because you have to navigate the nuances of how you get ballot access state by state. Every state is different. The threshold to achieve ballot access is different in every state.
Yeah, that's one thing the two parties agree on, is to make it really hard for third parties to get on the ballot. But Yeah, that's definitely a challenge, and the rules are really unfair in many states.
Yeah, I would, Robin, I want to encourage your listeners. If you go to our website and you put your information in, and you are from Illinois or you're from Iowa, someone will call you. You are going to get a phone call, and we are looking for leaders there. Our leaders have come to us in all shapes and sizes, people who are brand new to politics, people who have been longtime independents, people who have left the Democratic and Republican parties. We've got former elected officials who are serving as our state leads. So please come to the website, plug your information in, let us call you and help us build this.
What's your timeline for success? I mean, have you thought about, you've just gotten going. It's 2 years now, but 3 years. When at one point will you know that, hey, we've made a difference? Is it winning so many local races like you've talked about that don't have competition, or is it going to be a congressional seat, a state legislative seat?
Yeah.
How do you define success?
Being a national political force. And being a national political force is an and, Robin. So everything you just broke down, it's having leadership at municipal levels across the country where we're bringing grassroots in. It's helping to make sure that state legislatures that are gridlocked across the country have Fordists and independents who are in elected office who can serve as fulcrums together to force, to force leadership to get things done on behalf of their communities. And then seeing that same fulcrum in the United States House of Representatives. And a few members of the United States Senate who can wield that same level of influence that we're looking to build at the legislative level. And us achieving, the goal of being a national political force in order to experience a functional and representative government it's a decade-long play. This isn't something that just happens overnight. And those of us who have joined this movement acknowledge, like, we're going to have some really big wins, and those big wins are going to make a difference in those communities. I'll give an example right now. We had an amazing candidate run. We have ballot access in South Carolina. We had an incredible candidate run for school board in Charleston County, South Carolina. The school boards across the country have been politicized, and people are weaponizing our education system. And we had a Fordist actually unseat someone who was advocating for a lot of book bans in Charleston County. And that is real-time progress. She's actually in her platform has been a real advocate for homeless students within the district. So those are the things where in the short term we're seeing real impact in communities. But the long-term goal is that national political force. One of the things that is a stepping stone along the way to accomplishing that is going to the Federal Election Commission and applying for federal party status in 2028. There's, so much punditry coming out of the Elon tweets about, is he, isn't he? And folks keep saying, oh, well, he hasn't gone to the FEC and applied. And we go, well, it doesn't work that way. The FEC actually has a series of requirements you have to accomplish in order to apply for federal party recognition, and they're not things that happen overnight. It is achieving ballot access in a critical number of states. It's running at a minimum eight individuals for federal office on those ballot lines. So that means between now and 2028, where are we getting ballot access? Where are we building a bench of candidates in down ballot races? How are we then taking that bench of candidates, recruiting individuals to run for federal office, checking those requirements off for the FEC, and then going to them for federal party recognition in 2028?
I think a recent example that might help our listeners understand the potential of this is next door in Nebraska, where a gentleman, Dan Osborne, ran for the U.S. Senate. Did not, Nebraska's ruby red Republican state. He ran as an independent and ran, I think, 7 points better than Kamala Harris did, just because he didn't have the party label, the Democrats opposing the Republicans. And I'll bet there's other examples of that in Democratic areas where people run as independents instead of Republicans. It just seems like something like this is needed because, again, I don't think it's controversial to say our two-party system is broken right now, and the gerrymandering and all, it's just feeding this hyper-partisanship that really isn't, I don't know, it's not good for our country. And I think most people, if I can get off my soapbox here in a minute. Most people agree on most of the issues, right? I mean,
Oh, we do. We do. And
and it just seems like the center is what is missing here, and we really need to get that back. But go ahead, Lindsay.
Well, I was just going to say, if anyone is watching the news and feeling disheartened, if people are on social media and feeling senses of despair, come to a Ford event. Let me tell you, you've got folks of all generations, socioeconomic backgrounds, cultural affinities, ages, coming together with a shared vision for what this country can be, and we're building that on a shared platform of values and principles. And you use the word center. And that's a word that a lot of people use when they talk about, bipartisanship and collegiality and folks who are solutions oriented. But the reality is a lot of these gatherings have folks who have very kind of different traditional policy and political orientations. So, I mean, I look at Andrew and the fact that he had a huge following of quite progressive folks who are very excited about his vision for UBI. But then we have lots of disaffected Republicans who feel that they no longer have a home in the MAGA movement with its bombastic rhetoric and its kind of hate speech. And so you have people who come together with a shared value, and it gives you so much hope, Robin. I have the opportunity to travel around the country and spend time with our Fordists in their communities. And so if anyone out there is feeling a sense of despair for our political system, come to one of our events. It will show you that there is huge opportunity for this. And you referenced the gerrymandering and what's happening now as a result of the calls to redistrict Texas in this mid-cycle. I think the rhetoric coming from Hochul and Newsom and Pritzker, the Democratic Party wants to position themselves right now as the saviors of democracy, and yet they just tanked an open primary initiative in New York City. They're wanting to re-gerrymander states and have leaders choose their voters instead of voters choosing their leaders. And so I'm making an open call to the Democratic Party. I mean, I think if you really want to win a majority in the House in 2026, if you really want to shore up our democracy, call me and let's talk about a strategy where we actually run candidates as independents and stand up for independent voters and new parties instead of trying to marginalize a new political party. And so when you talk about Nebraska, I think that's a great opportunity. You had Deb Fischer was a disengaged member of Congress. She hadn't hosted any town halls. She was never in the state. No one saw her. Dan Osborne, saw an opportunity, ran as an independent in a very red state where a Democrat was not going to likely be very competitive. And one of the reasons that Dan was so competitive and made so much progress is that he was the alternative candidate. He wasn't a Democrat. And so I think Nebraska voters went, oh, this is something different. And I'm really interested in Dan Osborne. And he's not spouting Democratic rhetoric and he's not running on a Democratic ballot. I'll entertain an independent. And so I think both the Republicans and the Democrats who want to say that they want to shore up our democracy in areas where they are not going to be competitive and they know that, step down. Step down. Don't run someone. Let an independent run. Let someone from a third party run and give them a chance.
I talk to a lot of people, everyday people that are tired of both parties. Folks, this is your chance to learn more about a potential alternative. It's called the Forward Party. And my guest today is the CEO of that party, Lindsay Williams-Drath. And it's been my pleasure to have you on. If you're interested, check out their website at forwardparty, all one word.com. Lindsay, thank you so much for being my guest
Thank
today.
you so much, Robin. This has been such a treat.
You've been listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR. You can follow Heartland Politics at wvik.org or wherever you subscribe to podcasts.